This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
It's hot. Equity markets have been getting hotter over recent weeks, and the US jobs market was the hottest for half a century, with unemployment ticking down to just 3.5%. In this episode of Market Talk, the last before we break for the summer holiday, we'll be discussing rising tensions between China and Taiwan, a bleak outlook for the UK, and rising recession risks in the US. So catching some rays is me, Frances Watson, but staying as cool as a cucumber, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Frances. It's been really hot here as well the last couple of weeks, but today we had an almighty thunderstorm all morning, so it's cleared a little bit.
I'm sure we've got that to look forward to in the UK too, Ben. But let's just stay with your part of your neck of the woods. Well, China and Taiwan, of course, that's really been hitting the headlines, hasn't it, on the back of Nancy Pelosi's visit. What are investors going to make of all of this one, Ben?
You've got to factor in some risk premium for the tension. And we're not necessarily talking military conflict, but what was announced over the last couple of days is some issues in terms of bilateral discussions to do with climate, etc., between China and the US. Those are getting put on hold. I don't know what it means for tariffs going forward, but you suspect it's not great news, is it? And we have had already equity markets in the region, so the Hang Seng is underperforming equivalent markets in the US by, well, up to Wednesday's close. Last time I looked at it last week, it was underperforming by nearly 10% over the previous week. So, you know, big moves in terms of relative performance. Like I said, I think that's really just factoring in a little bit less cooperation going forward. And it also potentially sets a new standard for what China will do the next time that the US wants to send someone over to Taiwan as well. So, you know, it could ratchet up over the next few months. The really interesting thing in China is that we have the Party Congress in autumn in a few weeks' time, which is the next period where, you know, government officials are being put in place. So now everyone's a little bit nervous about where they're going to be, what sort of positions you're going to get. So it's not the greatest time to cause friction in the region. But so it's all, but markets have reacted to a large extent already.
And just picking up on something that you've just said there about retaliation on climate change, Ben, I mean, how much of an impact do you think that's going to make on the upcoming summit? Of course, we've got COP27 coming in November, I think it is.
Well, it's one of eight countermeasures. There's various things, not just climate, defence policy coordination, etc. So I don't think it's anything specifically targeted at climate change. I think it's just trying to reduce the amount of bilateral cooperation. But it can't help, can it, when we're all trying to go the same direction with the climate emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, back in the UK, we've had another bumper rate rise from the Bank of England and a very bleak outlook. Talk us through that, if you will, then.
That's right. So the forecast for GDP for the UK going forward is for 5 quarters of contraction, which, yeah, it's a pretty desperate forecast. And we've had a look. We can't find when the Bank of England has forecast such a bleak recession ever. So this is, yeah, unprecedented. What you've got to bear in mind, though, is the Bank of England can't assume fiscal policy. So whoever wins the vote to become the next prime minister will presumably put in place some supportive fiscal measures that will counterbalance whatever the Bank of England has got as its base case. Even so, though, it's a pretty bleak future, but that's the case across the whole of Europe, unfortunately, and it's the main reason is because of energy costs and prices going up, and that's weighing on the consumer, weighing on businesses. So there's not an awful lot you can do as the Bank of England, particularly when your remit is to try and control inflation. You have to hike interest rates, which, if anything, makes it worse, but you have to reduce demand, otherwise inflation can get out of control.
I mean, it just seems a bit counterintuitive to me then, given that the oil price is falling quite sharply, given that, you know, we are forecasting recession 2024-25. Why is inflation spiraling out of control, given we've got such a bleak future ahead? It doesn't kind of make sense.
Yeah, I think it's a timing situation. And remember also that market prices are factoring in interest rate hikes to some degree anyway. So that's already being put in place. That's helping to slow demand, particularly across Europe, particularly across the UK. If the Bank of England or the European Central Bank didn't follow through with what investors are expecting, then you could see a tremendous boost to the economy, and that could lead to even higher inflation. So it's all timing, it's all what's being expected. They have to follow through with this. And yeah, like I said, unfortunately, even though oil prices are going down, we know natural gas prices have been going up to levels which are going to be causing a huge amounts of problems unless that supply comes back from Russia, with the invasion of Ukraine being the key part of that, of course.
Sure. And of course, the last thing that happened, quite major thing, was last Friday with the US jobs report. Wow, that was a bit unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, this basically, I was talking to our chief US economist earlier, and he said that no economic data is perfect. All of them have got flaws. And if you've got to try and balance which flaws are more important. So do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we had Q2 GDP out of the US, which was a negative print. And at the time I said, you know, take this with a pinch of salt. It's not necessarily the case that the US is in recession. And now we get this massive jobs number, which taken at face value would suggest that the US is booming. The truth is probably somewhere in between. We're not in a recession in the US, but these jobs numbers are probably also going to get revised down. I mean, they get revised all the time. So they're probably not quite as strong as suggested. But like I said, it's somewhere in between. The US, we don't think, is in a recession right now. We think the UK and the Europe are more in danger in the second half of this year of falling recession because of natural gas prices predominantly. The US, we don't think, is going to be in recession this year. They don't have the same issue with natural gas. But then, because the Federal Reserve is hiking interest rates to try and get inflation under control, by the end of next year, the middle of next year, we think there is quite a high chance of a recession in the US at that time.
As a house, have you brought that recession risk forward then for the US, Ben?
Yeah, we have. We've increased it. I mean, the probability we have is about a 60% chance that the US will be in recession by the middle of next year, at some point before then. So that's been going up all year, actually. Inflation is a big part of that, and the fact the Federal Reserve has to slam on the brakes to get it under control. We've also seen a slowing in the consumer, and we've seen a slowing in the consumer, not to recessionary levels, but if you take the data at face value, it does look as though they're spending less, or they're buying fewer things because everything's costing more, I think is the best way of putting it. And of course, we know that the housing market is slowing because interest rates are so important for the housing market in terms of mortgage costs, etc. So all that added together is an increasing chance of recession, but not now in the US, probably at the middle of, towards the middle of next year is what we think.
And yet, against all of this news, and it hasn't been great news what you've told us so far, equities still having a great start to August, having had a bumper start over July. Of course, you know, some of that's recovering really heavy falls, but still a strong footing. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, lots of things drive markets, of course. It's very hard to think about what's happened, let alone forecasting forward. So, there's three things that have been buffeting equity markets, I think, all year. One is positioning and valuations, which came in the start of the year, everything looked pretty expensive. Perhaps a few weeks ago now, everything looks quite cheap, and we had a big correction in a lot of markets. So that's one of the turning points. The second is the economy. So as I said, we've been increasing chances of a recession. I think lots of other people have as well. I don't think that's turned over the last few weeks. I think that's still the case. Recession risk is still the case. The third thing is what the Federal Reserve is doing about it. It's a monetary policy. That's, alongside positioning, probably the most important thing in terms of this latest turn. The Federal Reserve did admit a few weeks ago that there's downside risks to growth. All year they've just been talking about inflation's too high, we need to stamp on the brakes. And that change in rhetoric, saying, okay, inflation's high, but also we've got to be, we're aware that growth is slowing. That, for investors, suggested that perhaps we're not going to have so many rate hikes as we're pricing in. So it's that what I was mentioning before, what was being priced into markets reduced a little bit. But then if we keep getting jobs data like we got on Friday, that'll reverse as well. So, you know, this could be a short-lived reprieve for markets, but that's certainly been the case so far. There's sort of been a bit of relief. The Federal Reserve doesn't have to accelerate their tightening as we've been factoring in all year.
But that relief seems to be about tightening, seems to be what's dictating the bond market at the moment too.
Yeah, but I mean, bonds are all over the place. I mean, so bond yields have been falling over this period of time, which, as you say, that's to do with the fact that perhaps the central bank doesn't have to hike as much as was previously factored in. So bond yields falling, funding conditions, how much it costs to borrow money in terms of interest rates, improving a little bit over the last few weeks, having gone up a huge amount at the start of the year. Again, that's been helping equity and credit markets.
Okay, so let's look ahead to this week. I mean, a pretty quiet week because most people have gone on holes. We're going soon, Ben, so I'm not feeling too sad. But CPI numbers for US, Europe and China, what are we expecting there?
Yeah, so again, this has been the thing that's been driving markets, hasn't it? So very important this week, even though, as you say, everyone's on holiday. I'm sure I'll be checking your phones on a holiday. And yeah, the US one is probably the most important one. Because gasoline prices, petrol prices have been coming down recently, perhaps headline inflation will decline. But we're also looking at core inflation, you know, how much it costs for all the goods, rental prices, et cetera. So that's going to be pretty important. That might creep a little bit higher. This is what's going to be influencing the Federal Reserve the most. So this is an important number. Yeah, as you said, we also get final inflation data out of Europe, where we got the flash numbers recently, so it might not change too much from that. And we also get Chinese inflation. We'll get a good dose of price information for the entire globe this week. So I think it's still pretty important.
Okay, well, so what is also important is your number. And we're going to say for the summer, not for the week, because, of course, this is the last market talk until September. So what is your number you'd like to leave us with, Ben, for the summer and why?
Well, everyone's talking about summer holidays and going away, aren't they? So we've been trapped a little bit here in Hong Kong, partly because of quarantine rules. So my number of the week, or my number of the summer, is 3, because we've just changed our quarantine rules so that we don't have to stay in a hotel quarantine for 7 days. It's only 3 days, although it might be 3.5.
Fantastic news, though, isn't it?
I think so. And we'll see if it sort of sparks a little bit more activity here. It's interesting that Hong Kong's being allowed to do things differently from China. And as soon as I leave you now, I'm going to be booking my flight to the Melbourne Cup via Bali. So that's going to be my plan it'll be more autumn than summer, but at least I'll get it in the diary.
Well, I think to end on, beat that if you can. Melbourne Cup via Bali. Oh, my goodness. I am just going green with envy. Look, Ben, thank you so much for all the market talks that you've done over the half year, and more over the half year. We're in August already. We will, of course, be back in September for more news and your views. But in the meantime, Ben, thanks so much for doing all these market talks with us. And thank you to all of you for listening, and happy holidays. Thank you.
Enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.
Copyright 2021 Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For professional investors only.